Chapter 1. Lane. My first night at Latham House, I lay awake in my narrow, gabled room in Cottage 6, wondering how many people had died in it. And I didn't just wonder this casually, either. I did the math. I figured the probability. And I came up with a number. 8. But then, I've always been terrible at math. In fourth grade, we had to do timed tests for our multiplication tables. 5 minutes a page, 50 questions each. And if you wanted to move on, you couldn't make a single mistake. The teacher charted our progress on a piece of hot pink poster board taped up for everyone to see, a smiley face sticker next to our name for each table we completed. I watched as the number of stickers next to everyone else's names grew, while I got stuck on the sevens. I did the flashcards every night, but it was no use, because it wasn't the multiplication table that was giving me trouble. It was the pressure of being told two things. One, that I only had a short amount of time, and two, that I had to get everything right. When I finally drifted off to sleep, I dreamed of houses falling into the ocean and drowning. The water swallowed them, but they rose up again from the black depths, rotting and covered in seaweed, as they rode the waves back to shore looking for their owners. I'm an only child, so the prospect of using the communal bathroom was pretty horrifying, which is why I set my alarm that first morning for 6 o'clock, tiptoeing down the hall with my dop kit and towel while everyone else was still asleep. It was strange wearing shoes in the shower, being completely naked except for a pair of flip-flops. Washing my hair with shoes on and doing it in a Tupperware container of a shower stall felt so different from my normal Monday morning routine that I wondered if I'd ever get used to it. I used to sleep in at home, waiting until the last possible moment to roll out of bed, grope for a clean shirt, and eat a cereal bar on the drive to school. I'd listen to whatever songs were on the radio, not because I liked them, but because they were my tarot cards. If the songs were good, it would be a good day. If they were bad, I'd probably get a B on a quiz. But that morning, standing at the window of my dorm room as I buttoned my shirt, I felt like an entirely different person. It was as though someone had taken an eraser to my life and, instead of getting rid of the mess, had rubbed away all the parts that I'd wanted to keep. Now, instead of my girlfriend and my dog and my car, I had a pale green vinyl mattress, a view of the woods, and an ache in my chest. I'd gotten in late the night before. My parents drove me up, Dad clutching the steering wheel, and Mom staring straight ahead as we listened to NPR for 6 hours with the windows down, not saying anything. Dinner was long over, and it was almost lights out by the time I'd opened my suitcase. Latham still didn't feel real. Not yet. I'd encountered it, tiptoeing around the corridors out of sync with the rest of its residents, but I hadn't yet become one of them. It was the end of September, and I was 17, and my senior year was taking place 400 miles away, without me. I tried not to think about that as I waited for my tour guide outside the dormitory in the early morning chill of the mountains. I tried not to think about any of it because I was pretty sure the full weight of my situation would crush me. Instead, I thought about wet flip-flops and math problems and my cell phone, which I'd had for a few brief hours in the car and which had been taken from me upon arrival. According to my information packet, your first-day ambassador, Grant Hardin, will meet you outside your dorm at 7:55 a.m. to take you to breakfast and help you find your first class. So I waited for Grant to show up while everyone else streamed past me, shuffling toward the dining hall in a motley assortment of sweatpants and pajamas, like we were at summer camp. Of course, Grant was running late, so I stood there forever.